Without further ado, I'm going to give you Leo.
Hi, family. My name is Leo Maddie.
Hey, Leo.
A common welfare comes first. A person's recovery depends on their unity. And, you know, a common welfare is to keep the atmosphere of recovery, you know, and to maintain that, you know, because I needed that when I came around in these rooms, you know. I needed somebody there for me. You know, I had nowhere else to go. You know, there were people there to greet me. There were people there to, you know, that made coffee for me, you know, and there were people there that set up the chairs, and we had they had a speaker there, and everybody worked in unity, because this is what this step is about, too, unity, you know, and, you know, they treated me with kindness, you know, and respect, you know, in doing that, I felt welcome, you know, kind of nervous, you know, and I never did a workshop, but, you know, got to face my fears today, you know, and this is why I'm up here, you know, because I'm facing my fears today, you know, a lot of things have happened within my life today, you know, that I thought I couldn't do. You know, I'm doing it. You know, that's the only success that I've had since I've been here. You know why? Because I tried. You know, and, you know, numerous people before me, when they came around this program, that's how I learned how to do a lot of things that I'm doing today. You know, and they were showing me their common welfare. You know, to stay clean. You know, I had to do the things they were doing. You know, they were going to meetings. They had a sponsor. They had a network. They came to meetings and started talking about what's going on with me, so with them, so they could get the help that they need. So I had to do the same thing. You know, I got me a sponsor. You know, and I got me a network, and I got me a home group, you know, and, you know, I even had a service position, you know. This program is by attraction and not by promotion, you know, and that's what caught my eye, that attraction, you know, and seeing them doing better, you know, seeing them progressing in life, you know, and living a better life. And that's what I wanted, you know, and they were showing me that, you know, working together, that we can do these things, because I can't do this by myself, you know, but I am also included in we, you know, and they and us, you know, and collectively, we can do this thing together, you know. And that's what was taught to me. You know, when I first came around, you know, old timer told me that, you know, asked me when I first came around. And I told him, well, I came around in like 91, you know. He said, now, when you really first come around. I said, and I had to think about it. And I said, well, you know, my first treatment center, I was in 82. You know, he said, well, that's what you got to tell the people. You know, you got to tell them when you first came around. You know, so actually, if I came around in 82, you know, and I got 10 years, so it took me, you know, 20 years to get 10. Yeah. You know, but that's the way I had to look at it. You know, I had to... You know, go back and you know, not to look at how much clean time that I had, but where I really started from. You know, see, I have a sponsor that has a sponsor that has working knowledge of the steps. You know, and I got sponsees. You know, and This is how this thing trickles down and works in unity. You know, I met my grand sponsor. I mean, because my great grand sponsor, I went to his celebration, and he had 27 years. And his sponsor, he had 40-something years. My sponsor was there. He had 18. I was there. I had 9. My sponsor was there. He had 7. His sponsor was there. He had 3. You know, that was a rush. I mean, that was, just showed me that this thing worked, y'all. You know, worked in harmony and unity. You know, we worked together at this thing. You know, I can't do this thing by myself. You know, when I came around and I was sitting in the meetings and somebody was sharing about, you know, death in their family. You know, it hadn't happened to me yet. You know, and what they did, they talked about, you know, how they felt, you know, and they cried, and they continued to talk about how they felt and what they were going through. But then that's what? It hit home. You know, 6 years ago, you know, my sister died, you know, and I had to go back in that toolbox and look at what that lady did. You know, she came in the meeting, she started talking about what was going on with her, and as she cried, you know. And she did what she had to do to get through it. And that's what I did. You know, I did what I had to do to get through it. You know, I had to drop that image. And I came to the meeting, people talking about what's going on with you, and I had to tell them. You know, because a year after that, my mom died. You know. And then I had to go through the process over again. You know, the grief. You know, as many times as I've went through it, and I've been through it, oh man, since I've been in the program, well, in the last 6 years, I've had 4 deaths in my immediate family. I'm talking about my sister, then it was my mom, then it was my grandfather. You know, my sister died 6 years ago. My mom died 5 years ago. You know, my grandfather died last year, and my brother died 2 months ago, you know, and without the help of these people in this program, I don't know where I would have been or what I would have done, you know. See, the steps talks about surrendering, too. You know, I had to surrender. You know, I had to kind of like give it to God, you know, because I mean, you know, I really can't handle all of this. You know, all the things that come towards me, you know, living life on life terms. You know, before I used to use over that. Today I don't have to. Today, you know, I can take suggestions, you know, and I can learn from you people. You know, y'all give me your experience, strength, and hope, and I give you my experience, strength, and hope, and we can learn from one another. You know, this program has been good, you know, and then it's got real good, and then it got real, you know, because I had to look at some things that I ran away from for so many years, you know, but y'all helped me to deal with that, you know. I had to look at myself, you know, in order to work with y'all, I had to take a look at me, you know. And my personal recovery depends on NA unity, but I had to recover with the steps, and the steps is recovery, the steps and traditions, you know, and I had to take a look at me first, you know. And like the guy was talking about, you know, the main speaker's meeting, the spirit. The spirit has awakened, you know, and that's what the steps had done for me, and helped me to open my spirit, you know, to help me to take a look at me, you know, to carry the message, you know, to get closer to my higher power, you know, to make amends to people. It's an inside job, and I have to work on the inside, you know, so I have to make that list and then make amends to other people, you know, so I can feel better. You know, and you know, live better and feel better about myself. You know, that amends is just not, you know, making amends to other people's financial amends too. You know, I got to look at, you know, my character defects and my shortcomings. You know, my character defects is how I feel, my shortcomings is how I act. You know, and if I don't watch that, then what it does, I act the way I used to. And, you know, the same person does the same thing. You know, and I don't want to be the same person to bring harm to myself and somebody else. You know, I want to change today. And y'all helped me change. Because y'all told me that if I find a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity, you know, because I was insane out there. You know, I admit that when I come in here. You know, I need help. That's what I said when I came in here. I surrender. I'm throwing both of my hands up. You know, because that's what y'all did. I watch y'all come in here and do that. You know, and the only way that you made it through is to find a higher power. You know, and I had to do that too. And when I found a higher power, I turned it over to him. And that third step is one of the most important steps that I've done. Because what it did, it lifted the weight off my shoulder. It helped me to deal with the other things I talked about before. You know, and it helped me to realize that, you know, I'm not alone. You know, when the tragic things that had happened in my life, you know, since I've been around these programs, I had the support of a lot of people, you know, in my network, you know, my sponsees, one just walked in. And, you know, they're there for me. You know, and they call me on the phone, and I call them. You know, one thing about this program, you know, my sponsee calls me, and, you know, he got something going on with him, you know, and I answer the phone, and I run my mouth about 15, 20 minutes. Talking about what's going on with me, you know? And then after I catch myself, I say, well, what'd you call me for? You know? That's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, you know? Giving my experience strength and hope, you know, listening to other people, you know? Because other people listen to me, you know? And sometimes that's all I need, you know? Reading the literature. The literature don't change, you know. And the literature broadens my perspective on the program, you know. When I start reading the literature, it just helps me to understand the program itself, you know. So I won't come up with these bright ideas of how I want the program should run and how it should run, you know, it should run for me, you know. Working in unity in this program is kind of like, you know, well, we had a law out there in the street, you know, where you don't tell on people, you know. And then they say coming in is all about change. And I kind of like agree with that. I really do. You know, because when somebody starts stealing money out of the basket, I'm going to tell on you. You know, because our common welfare comes first.
That's right.
You know, we got to protect our meetings. You know, and when somebody, you know, acting out, you know, in the meeting, you know, and I have a position, you know, my responsibility is to pull that person aside, you know, and let them know that, you know, this is not a church. Or, you know, if you want to talk, we talk to you later because, you know, as being a chairperson, you know, sometimes things get out of perspective, you know. So we as members have to keep it in perspective, you know, because we have our, you know, chairperson, we have a coffee maker, you know, we have the treasurer, you know, and everybody works together in unity, you know. You ever went to a meeting and the secretary didn't show up or the co-chair didn't show up?
Yeah.
What happened?
It went on anyway.
Hey.
It went on anyway.
it went on. You know, we didn't say, well, the co-chair didn't show up and didn't bring a speaker. You know, we got to go back home. No, that's not how it works. You know, it works when somebody steps up to the plate. You know, be that secretary, you know, or be that co-chair and get a speaker. You know, or speak yourself. I've done it. You know, the meeting goes on. You know, this is my life today. You know, this is what I live for today. You know, this program has afforded me life. You know, I didn't have life before. I was killing myself, you know, on a daily basis. And what this program has done, this program has opened my eyes up to live life on life terms, you know, and I don't have to use whatever go on, you know. And I had some things go on in this program since I've been in here, and I talked about the death, you know, and you know, I've been in and out of relationships. I lost jobs, you know, I didn't pick up. You know, because my common welfare is to stay clean and help another addict stay clean, you know. And, you know, someone said that when you help A and B, when you help B and C, A gets helped the most. So when I reach out and help other people, I get the help that I need because I'm reminded of what I have to do myself. So when I do work unconditionally, you know, and helping other people, I get help threefold, mentally, spiritually, and physically, you know, because my God helps me, you know, in other areas, you know, you know, I don't have to question that, you know, because I lived it, you know. And it was shown to me, you know, that my spirit was lifted, you know, and I feel better about myself, you know. And when I reach out and help other people, you know, it makes me just feel good inside, you know. And when I seen the theme of the main speaker's meeting, you know, when it first came on and showed that picture, you know, of one guy, and he surrendered, you know, and he went, he had a phone call, and it was a dope dealer, you know. And what happened, he went to the dope dealer, and he said, no, man, I don't want this. I don't want this. And he walked away and went to a meeting. Man, that's touching. That really is, man. That's me. You know, every time I see something like that, you know, it gives me a rush. You know why? Because that was me. You know, surrendering. You know, trying to live a better life. Wanted to live a better life and didn't know how. You know, coming in and asking for some help. I had to humble myself. I had to go ahead and let somebody know that I needed some help. I had to break that image, you know. And when I did that, my world opened up, you know. I surrendered in the first step, you know. And after that, I surrendered within the rest of the step, you know, because I find that power greater than myself, and I turned it over to him, you know. And then all the other things that goes on with me, you know, with the four-step and taking that inventory, you know, I wasn't afraid. You know, y'all did it, why can't I? You know, it wasn't nothing that I did that y'all didn't do. You know, it ain't nothing that y'all went through that I can't get through. You know, y'all showed me that. I come to meetings on a regular basis, you know, and I see that, you know. And a lot of times, when I come to the meeting with a problem, and when I leave, my problem just ain't that bad. You know what? Because y'all gave me y'all experience, strength, and hope. You know, and y'all helped me live life on life terms. Y'all let me know that, you know, it's all right today. You know, if you're feeling bad, feel them, and you can get through them without using them, you know? This program has helped me live life on life terms, helped me to accept things the way they are and not the way I want them to be. You know, helped me to accept you for who you are and not who I want you to be, you know? And it helped me to look at me and keep the focus on me and work on me. You know, I can't change you. You know, it's hard enough changing me. You know, so what I do on a regular basis is work on me, and that's within the steps. You know, and it's a continuous work. When I do step 1, 2, and 3 and go into 12, I go right back to them, you know. And, you know, I tell you, I don't, when I've gone through the steps, you know, I don't go right back through them the way I've been going, I went through them the first time, you know, because that's why we have a 10th step, you know. And it was told in my network that if I worked a 10th step, then I'm working all the steps anyway, you know. And I don't have to, because I already got in depth with that step. So what I got to do is just continue to work on the steps on a regular basis, and my life will get better. You know, I do a 4-step practically every other day, because I told my sponsor, you know, if not every day. You know, and I tell him what's going on with me. I don't have to wait for 6 or 7 months or a year later to tell him what's going on with me or what happened with me, you know, 6 months ago. You know, I don't have to wait to make amends to somebody or make another list so I can make amends to somebody, because I can do it right now. You know, I don't have to stagnate my program. You know, it tells me that I just have to do what I have to do today to make my life better. You know, because when I work the steps of this program, you know, in making amends and getting closer to my higher power and make a decision to turn my will, my life over to the care of God, all of this collectively, you know, brings my spirit up. You know, and helps me to live a better life. You know, and you know, I often say that I had to change my way of thinking, and that's doing the steps. When I did the steps, I changed my way of thinking. When I changed my way of thinking, I changed my way of living. I don't have to live like that no more. When I change my way of living, I can change my way of life. So I'm living different. My life becomes different. You know, I'm no longer the person that I was, you know. And as long as I keep doing what I'm doing, my life will get better. You know, I couldn't imagine 10 years ago that I would be or feeling the way I am today. You know, and I feel good about myself. I love myself today, you know. And I love the people around me, you know. And I learned to do that by just coming in this program and working the steps a day at a time, you know, doing what's suggested. You know, I got me a sponsor, I got me a network, you know, I got me a home group, I do service work, you know, and I go to meetings, I talk about what's going on with me so I can get the help that I need. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all showed me how to live today, you know, and I'm glad to see every and each one of you here, because I need y'all, you know, and that's my experience, strength, and hope. My name is Leo. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank I want to thank Leo for sharing his experience, strength, and hope on our first tradition. Our second speaker will be Scotty.
I'm an hack named Scott. And thanks, Leah. Thanks for sharing. There's a workshop on the first tradition, and it's probably the least attended workshop here at 12 o'clock at night, as probably in line with the other 11 traditions at this convention and most any other convention and most any meeting. And it's unfortunate because this tradition speaks of unity. And this tradition speaks of our common welfare. And this tradition is very important in Narcotics Anonymous. It's very important in life, you know. And even it ties right in where it says in the readings, and a lot of people say at the end of meetings, as long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. That's the first tradition. You know, and unity is a very tough thing to achieve. You know, to have unity in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is so difficult because it's hard enough having it. I mean, unity in the world, unity in your neighborhood, unity at your job, unity in any phase of life, you know? And to expect a bunch of self-seeking, self-centered addicts to get together for the common good instead of their own good, that's a monumental task, you know? And I'm sorry that this workshop isn't more filled because the topic is a monumental task. Not that I got a whole lot to say, you know, but it's a monumental task, and it's something that, you know, needs to be sort of thought about and talked about and what have you. The area that I'm from is the Central Maryland area of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's Prince George's County. And there's not a whole lot of unity in Prince George's County in Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and I hate to say that, but there's white meetings and there's black meetings. And that's the truth. You know, I'm blessed with my home group in that everybody's welcome in my home group. Our home group, it just so happens there's two home group members here tonight. Rob's the GSR of my home group. You know, and our home group is racially divided. I don't mean racially divided in a bad way, I mean in a good way. It's black, it's white, there's newcomers, there's people with time, there's men, there's women, there's what Narcotics Anonymous is in our home group, you know? And that's what makes it a very good home group, you know? And we try to practice that principle. But in Laurel, Maryland, where I live, there's two meetings on Thursday night, right next door to each other. One meeting's at the hospital at 7 o'clock, it's 95% white. One meeting's at the synagogue right next door at 8 o'clock, it's 95% black. There's two meetings on Tuesday night. One's at 7:30, it's 90% white. One's at 8 o'clock, it's 90% black. They're within a half a mile of each other. You know, there's no unity happening there. And, you know, the common welfare of those meetings is coming together, but the common welfare of Narcotics Anonymous is not. You know, and that's the dilemma. And, you know, there are people in Narcotics Anonymous all over the place that I've heard say, I don't go to that meeting, there's too many black people there. Or I don't go to that meeting, there's too many white people there. Or I don't go to that meeting because there's gay people there and I don't feel comfortable. And I'll tell you what, never once when I had half money and you had half money, I said, I ain't going to the pan with you because you're black or you're gay or you're white or your hair is pink or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Not once. There was more unity in using sometimes than there is in recovery.
That's right.
You know, and here some people say, I don't go to that meeting because there's too many black people there, and to look at them and go, you shot dope in the shooting gallery in Southeast D.C. for 15 years, and now you're not going to come to a damn meeting because, you know, that's insane to me. Mm-hmm. That's insane to me. But you know, that's how life is. You know, and that's just a very big and very difficult area for a lot of people. Because a lot of people, it's real easy to feel comfortable with situations and people and surroundings that you're comfortable with, you know? So, it would be really nice if everybody in this workshop in the next week or so looked up in the meeting list and found a meeting that they had never been to. And go to that meeting. You know? Because if you're so close, you know, I mean, part of the second step is being open-minded. So there's people that have never believed in a God, never believed in a higher power, never been open-minded about anything, come into the rooms, believe in a power, get to believe in a power greater than themselves that will show them a new way of life, blessings and joys. But still, you're not going to be open-minded to go to a meeting in another section of town because you've never been there. You know? And we rob ourselves of a lot of stuff by being disunited. never know where the message is going to come that's going to save your life. You know, you never know who's struggling with some issues that are affecting you. And, you know, I've had situations in my recovery where I've been going through something, and I'll go to the same meetings that I go to, and I'll share about it, and I don't get any help there because nobody there has gone through that, or they weren't there that night or whatever, and I may go venture out and share about it and get all kinds of help. And that has happened to me, you know. And in a big area that happened to me was when my wife and I separated. Because my wife's in the rooms, I didn't want to share about all that stuff in my area, so I went out to all kinds of other areas and I got a whole lot of help because I got a lot of people that had gone through, you know, marriage separations or whatever, who didn't know her or me, so they weren't picking sides, and they told me how they got through stuff. You know? And, you know, if you hurt enough, you'll listen to anybody. If you're so caught up and so stuck with whatever, you'll listen to anybody give you a solution. You know, but that, like a whole lot of other stuff around here, it's, you know, you got to wait till it, like, you got nowhere else to go. You know? And so what that showed me was that the solution is all over the place. I just have to make myself available to go to it. You know, and this tradition speaks about our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Depends on. It doesn't say, you know, if we're united in what we're doing here, things will get a little better. It depends on it. And I had somebody tell me that, you know, if I tried to live these traditions in my life, in my relationships with other people, not the steps, but the traditions, that my life would get better. You know, if my girlfriend and I worked for our common welfare, if we're united in that, then our life is going to be better. It doesn't have to do just in the rooms Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that was part of the problem with my marriage. We both had like different agendas and we're no longer together. And that was because of it. You know, we couldn't find that common bond, common welfare, and work towards a common goal. And we are faced with that in Narcotics Anonymous because, you know, our common welfare our common welfare can mean, you know, all kinds of stuff. It can mean that the meeting list is correct. That if you pick up a meeting list and it says there's a meeting at a certain place at a certain time, that there's actually one there. And if there's not one there, somebody tell the people they're putting the meeting list together. That's part of our common welfare. Because if addicts show up to a place where there's no meeting because it's been shut down, that hurts us. And that could hurt my personal recovery, because that addict may have an answer for me that I need to hear, and he may never have found that meeting. You know, and as Lewis was saying, I mean, it's about, you know, having the meetings there. That's, you know, that's our responsibility. That's the common welfare of Narcotics Anonymous. That the doors are open and that the meeting goes on. If there's no coffee, if there's no secretary, you know, whatever. The most important thing is that the meeting's going on. You know, we had a couple of weeks ago, our coffee maker needed to resign. And so we didn't have any coffee at the meeting. Man, you would have thought, like, you know, I mean, people were like so distraught over the fact that there was no coffee. You know, that it's like they lost, you know, if you want coffee, that, you know, then go to Starbucks. You know what I mean? The common denominator here is that we're having an NA meeting. If there's coffee, that's a bonus, you know, but I mean, it was, you know, I mean, you hear people in the back, oh, my, I can't believe it. Where's the coffee? 7-Eleven, you know, three blocks away. We don't have coffee tonight. Yeah. Sit down and listen. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you get used to stuff, and the meeting went on. It was a good meeting that night. You know. And yet it wasn't a speaker either.
No, it wasn't.
That's right, they asked me at the last minute. It's all coming back to me now. That was a great meeting. But and there was somebody at that meeting that I think about that was sharing and really needed to, like, share what they had, you know, really needed to share. And, you know, it wasn't a coffee maker. I think a secretary was sitting in, but the meeting went on, and that person got through that crisis for that hour. You know, and that's our common welfare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can just affect just so many things. It's big about unity, and it's just big about the steps and the traditions and the welfare of Narcotics Anonymous. That when you go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, it is a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And sorry, spacing. Yeah. 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, it's one? Yeah, okay. We're almost wrapped up here. But there, you know, what's beautiful about Narcotics Anonymous and about the unity factor and stuff is, you know, my sponsor's sitting in the front row, my girlfriend's sitting in the front row, there's friends of mine here, mm-hmm. And my grand sponsor did a workshop today, and there were seven generations of our sponsorship family there. You know, and that was powerful. You know, and Rio was talking about that, man. You know, and it's like, you know, each one teach one. And that starts, unity can start with your sponsorship family. Unity can start with your home group. You know, unity can start by making a newcomer feel welcome at your home group. You know, because sometimes this thing gets like so big that you get caught up and people can slip through the cracks. You know, and trying to remember, trying to like place a face and go, I haven't seen that person before. You know, it's my obligation to go up to them and welcome them. I don't do it all the time. You know, but I try to get better at that. I'm working on improving that. To have an atmosphere, a loving atmosphere of recovery in your home group. You know, to have your home group. I mean, we sit down, like, do a group inventory at our home group. You know, and we try to look at it like, how does this look like if this was my first meeting and I knew nobody here? Is there a whole lot of stuff going on, you know, that's crazy? Was I welcomed? Was I made to feel welcome? You know, was I given a phone number? That kind of stuff. Because I know when I came in, man, I was scared to death. You know, but I couldn't tell anybody I was scared to death because I'd just done 6.5 years in prison, you know, so you can't tell anybody you're scared to death, but I was scared to death. And you get a little time and sometimes you forget that. You know. I love Narcotics Anonymous. It's given me a whole new life and a whole new perspective. And because of the people that were here before me who showed me how to treat the people that come here after me, I can help do my part in promoting unity around here and the common welfare of this fellowship. Because if this thing wasn't here, man, I don't know where I'd be. You know, so thanks for letting me share.
Thanks.